next to
it. Make sure you make it not hear me.
No,
in the back.
No. It's always difficult to give the Chanukah shiur already on the 5th day of Chanukah. Most of the Shabbos already came ready. It's already past Shabbos Chanukah. Shabbos Chanukah is when most of the Shabbos come. People are coming and going and visiting. So we already spoke a little bit about that on the 5th night shiur in the house. What should we talk about today? I thought we'd talk about something which is, although in theory is a Chanukah topic, is not as much a Chanukah topic as it is a whole year long topic. And that's the Sugya Nuchas Brachos. If I'm not mistaken, I think last year we gave a shiur about the bracha on jelly donuts. So we're not going to talk about that again. So I was thinking, what other Chanukah foods can we talk about? We can talk about potato latkes and applesauce. So we'll talk a little bit about Hilchos Brachas as it relates. Probably some people are eating potato latkes today. So what is the correct bracha on potato latkes? What is the correct bracha on applesauce? And hopefully we'll use this as a somewhat of a springboard to some important sugyas in terms of Hilchos Brachas. The sugya begins in Maseches Brachos, where the Gemara tells us that if a person has a fruit, so obviously a fruit that grows in a tree, make a bracha of berperates. So the Gemara raised the following question: what if you take a fruit and you turn it into what's called trima? The Gemara says, what's the dip? What's the halacha? What bracha do you make on trima? So we shouldn't feel too bad that we don't know what trima is, because the Gemara tells a story that when one of the Chachamim raised the question in the Beis Medrash, what bracha do you make on trima? So Rava didn't know what he was talking about either. So Rava was trying to figure out, looking in the dictionary, trying to figure out what in the world of Tiniyotsko, what exactly is this trima. So finally they told him, the other Amoran whispered to him, they told him exactly what it is. So what is trima? So trima is, you take a fruit and you crush up the fruit and you make something which resembles some kind of a jelly, a jam or something like that. So what is the bracha? So comes the Gemara and says that the bracha remains the same, just because you crushed up the fruit, so that doesn't change the bracha. And the Gemara proves that that's the case. How do you know that that's the din, that the bracha remains the same? So the Gemara says, I'll bring you a raya from an area of halacha outside of Uchas brachos. There is halacha in Uchas truma, that when you eat fruit of truma, you have to be very careful not to destroy the fruit of truma. You have to eat it in the normal way. Let's say if I take truma and I throw it to the garbage, or if I take truma and I eat it in a very strange way, so that would be a violation of a din deraisa called mafsa truma. The Torah says that the truma has to be treated with kedusha, it has to be lishveris trumosa, you have to keep it in a state of shmira, and any destruction of truma is a violation of that Torah of mafsa truma. The Gemara says that even if I take food and I eat it in a mashunatic way, eat it in a strange way, that's also considered to be a violation of hafsid truma. Now, what happens to be that you're permitted to take truma and crush it up and eat it in the state of truma. No, you see this, it would be hard to say this. Yeah, truma, truma. So if you take if you take truma and you crush it up and eat it in the state of truma, so the Gemara says that's okay. Because I'm Mishnah of rice, that's perfectly okay. So the Gemara says, you see from here that the truma is not considered to be the destruction of the food, that the truma is considered to be the extension of the food. It's the same food, by nafkamina, whether you're eating the apple as a whole or you're eating the apple crushed up, it's all the same thing. Just as in Uchas Truma, it's all the same thing. So too in Uchas Bracha, it's all the same thing as well. Parenthetically, this Gemara is very, very important for us to Maisa. Forget about Uchas Brachas for a minute. In terms of this rule that the Gemara just told us, that any time you take Truma and you eat it in the normal fashion, that's okay. But if you eat it in a machinic way, if you crush it up, if that would be considered to be destroying it, that would be a problem. So most of us don't have too much Truma around. But the halacha is, the Mishnah tells us in the is that the same way that you have to observe the sanctity of Peiros of Truma, you're obligated to observe the sanctity of Peiros of Shvius as well. Rambam writes in Uchas Shvius that whatever the guidelines for preservation of Truma are, those are the exact same guidelines, preservation for Kedushas Peiros Shvius. So this is Mamsha Shaila Maisa. This is a very real Shaila all the time in Eretz Yisrael. Those of us who eat Peiros Shvius. So let's say a person has a fruit that's Peiros Shvius. Sometimes there's a misconception out there that whatever Shemitah's trace, whatever, as you read certain articles, you can walk away from the impression, whatever grows the Shas, the Shemitah, you're not allowed to eat. So that's ridiculous. That's not true. That's a possible Chumash. Why is the Shabbos art the according to the Ramban, there's a mitzvah to eat Peiros Shvius. So what it means is like this. There are certain things that grow in the Shnas HaShmita that the Chumash prohibited to eat. So one of those things is the svichah, the vegetables, things that grow by themselves, grains and vegetables, things that are normally planted, but in this particular year, either were planted with Isser, or they grew by themselves. That's what's called Svichan, and the Chacham said, you're not allowed to eat them, because the gezeira that you may come to plant them. Masha'en came fruit that grows from a tree, so fruit that grows from a tree was never included in that gezeira. You don't plant trees all the time, you plant a tree once, and it lasts for 100 years. So Peres and Elon are Mutter Lachatchilas from Lachatchilas to eat from the Shnas HaShmita. Not only are they Mutter, according to some Hashem, there's even a mitzvah. So Nachmanim raised the question, why do you make a bracha? Shir Kiddushan mitzvah is in Tzivan, or Alachilas Peres Shmias? That's the question. From my side, nobody makes that bracha. So everybody agrees that you're allowed to eat Peres Shmias. There are guidelines how you're allowed to eat them. It's not a hefkevel. It is a hefkevel, but it's not a free-for-all. It's not a free-for-all what you're allowed to do. With the Peres Shmias, you have to eat them in a certain time of the year, and you have to eat them in a certain way, and only certain people can eat them. There are a lot of halachas in terms of how you go about consuming Peres Shmias. But one of the halachas is that you have to treat Peres Shmias to Kedusha, and you have to eat them in a normal manner. You're not allowed to destroy Peres Shmias in the process. So therefore the post can say that whatever the Rambam says in Hilchos Truma, whatever the Mishnah says in Truma, whatever the Gemara in Ketzel and Brochim says vis-a-vis the Truma, the same is true vis-a-vis the Peres Shmias as well. So let's say a person would have apples of Peres Shmias, and he wants to know, am I allowed to crush them up and make them into applesauce? So the applesauce is the equivalent of Truma. We'll see this as go on. If applesauce is really the halacha equivalent of Truma, then it's mutter, because that's not considered to be destroyed Peres Shmias, because that's the same thing. That's what the Gemara says, the Mosayu Kami, it's the same food, it's just an extension of the same food. So the Gemara said originally the Gabi Truma, and then the Poskim applied it to Shmias based on the Lashon Rabba, Menuchas Shmias, Menuchas Shmitah, and it all revolves around Menuchas Brachas as well, that if it's the same food for Shmita and Truma, then it's the same food for Menuchas Brachas as well. So you know, for the Mice, the Gemara says this food, which is Truma, the crushed up type of fruit, one would in fact recite a Bracha Boreh Prihaitz on it. So concerning this crushed up food, called Trima, there appears to be a major machlokes at Rishon, and what exactly is the case? What's the Metzias? We shouldn't feel bad that Rishon didn't know exactly what the Metzias is. Damoron didn't know what the Metzias was either. So comes Rashi, and that's Sugin writes, that it appears to him that Trima means that a fruit that's crushed up, but not entirely crushed. It doesn't mean it's mamish pulverized completely. Says Rashi, it's Marusa Pemiktos, it's partially crushed up. You could still perhaps you could still look at the pieces, but some of the pieces are still there. But it's, you take an apple and you break it up into a lot of little pieces, you mash it up a little bit, but it's not totally, completely pulverized. Says Rashi, that's what he thinks Trima is. And the Rambam, when he describes Trima in Hilchos Brachos, he doesn't make that condition. If anything, the Rambam indicates the other way. Ram says you take dates, the example that the Gemara is talking about, dates, you take dates, and you crush them up, and Ram says you make it like a dough. It's mamash like crushed cakes with gummy, you can't see anything, you can't tell it's a date and nothing. The Ram says that's what Trima means in the Gemara. So it appears to be a machlokes that we showed him. What is the case of Trima? According to Rashi, the Trima is the fruit that's crushed up, but not totally crushed. If it's totally crushed up, you get the impression from Rashi that would no longer be Trima. If it's no longer Trima, then that would have several nafkamina levina. Number one, most important for us in terms of Hilchos Brachos, you would recite, presumably not a Boreh Pri'eitz on it anymore, and presumably the bracha would be Shahakol. It would be, the bracha would disappear, the bracha would go down to Shahakol. And number two, in terms of Truma, you would not be permitted to make these fruits into this totally, completely crushed up mix. And in terms of Peres Shmias, so the carolate, whatever's also in Truma, the Rambam says it's also by Peres Shmias as well. So from the fact that Rashi went out of bed, told backwards, went out of his way, to tell you that Truma means daft in a situation where it's not totally crushed, the impression being that Leah too would be totally crushed, that all these halachas would be different, this would no longer qualify as Truma. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam's example of Trima, the Rambam's description, the Rambam's definition of Trima means that it's totally, completely knocked down, mamish knocked off, totally, completely pulverized, and it looks like an Issa, the Rambam says. That's clearly not the Trima that Rashi is describing. According to the Rambam, that would be Mutter and Truma, and Mutter and Shmias, and the Bracha would remain to be a Bracha Bar Pre'etz. So that's conventional wisdom, that there was in fact a Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam, the Taz, and his Kamat and Shulchan Aruch wants to revamp Rashi and claims that nobody disagrees with the Rambam, but in the Maisa, the regular consensus view was that there is in fact a machlokes, and that's what we're going to work with that assumption right now, that there is a machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. How far does Trima go? According to Rashi, it's only if it's partially crushed. According to the Rambam, even if it's totally crushed, that's still considered to be Trima. How do we pass in the Halach and Shulchan Aruch? So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says that we pass in like the Rambam. This is not surprising that the Shulchan Aruch chooses to pass like the Rambam over Rashi. And yeah, for the Shulchan Aruch holds that anything that qualifies as Trima, any crushed up fruit or anything, is considered to be Bracha Bar Pri'eitz. So that's Mutter B'Shmita, it's Mutter B'Truma, Mamash like the Rambam's Pshat in the Gemara. So the Ramah comes around with a little bit of a spin on the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, comes to Ramah and says, well, there's a Machlokes Rishonim, Rashi and Rambam, we don't really know what to do. So therefore the Ramah writes that if you have this type of a fruit that's totally crushed up, completely merusik legamrei, so So according to the Rambam, the Ika Bracha really should be still a bar per eight. According to the Rashi, the Ika Bracha is Shahakol. So what do you do when you have a suffix, whether to make a Shahakol or a bar per eight? So says the Rambam, we all know that the Sefer Bracha is always Shahakol. The Mishnah says, how cool would be a Shahakol Yotza. So if you make a Shahakol on anything, so then you're going to be Yotzei. So therefore, the Rambam says, when in doubt, when you have any suffix whatsoever in the Chizbrachas, why should you risk making a bar per eight? Which you may, maybe not for the Yotzei. According to Rashi, making a bar per eight may be a Bracha Lebatola. Whereas according to the Rambam, if you make a Shahakol, then it's a lose. So therefore, the Rambam says he thinks that Mikra Din, you should really make Shahakol. That's what he recommends that a person should follow in terms of this super duper duper crushed up Tribas. If it's Trima of Rashi, means you have a type of a fruit that's partially crushed, so then the Rambam concedes, and you make a bar per eight. That's the Trima of the Gemara, the Choladeus. If it's something that's completely Marusik Lagamre, so then the Rambam argues that he thinks it's safer to follow Shittas Rashi and to recite the Bracha Shaka. But then the Rambam writes that the Ika Mikra did, if a person made her eight, he's still going to be eight, because the Rambam says, off the record, he thinks the Rambam's right. He thinks the Rashi is not correct anyway. He thinks the Ikra did, the Rambam's right. So if he made a bar per eight, he shouldn't feel bad, but he thinks the proper practice still is to tell everybody to make Shahakol. So that's basically what we pass in Halacha as Ashkenazim. So we follow the Sakhra of the Rambam. We basically have accepted the Shittas Rashi. That means we draw a distinction between Marusik Lagamre and not Marusik Lagamre, something that's totally completely destroyed. So then we no longer treat that as the Trima of the Gemara, and therefore we make a Shahakol on it. Something that's partially intact, so then we assume that the Bracha remains to be the original Bracha, namely in the case of the food, of course, the Bar Priya ate. So come to Mishnah Berurah, and he starts to throw in some new terms into the equation, terms that appear a little bit in the earlier Peskim, but the Mishnah Berurah solidifies, no pun intended, some of these terms that we're discussing, and the Mishnah Berurah says as follows. He thinks that with the real Achra should be, whether this is exactly what the Rambam meant or not, the Mishnah Berurah is not sure, but he says he thinks that the real Halacha should depend on as follows, that we do accept the split Halacha, we do accept this idea, this distinction, that not everything necessarily qualifies as Trima of the Gemara. How do you know whether something is Trima, whether something is not Trima? How do you know whether the Bracha remains intact? How do you know you're allowed to do it in Shemitah? How do you know you're allowed to do it in Trumas? So the Mishnah Berurah says he thinks that it should depend on whether it's Nika Tzura Sapri, a new term that the Mishnah Berurah introduces into this equation, called Nika Tzura Sapri. If it's Nika Tzura Sapri, so then the Bracha remains the same. That's Trima L'chol Hadeus. Even Rashi would concede that that's Trima. The Bracha is Bar Parait. If it's Nitzta Tzura Sapri, if the Tzura Sapri, it's hard to even to define that term Tzura Sapri, we'll see in a moment why. If it's Nitzta Tzura Sapri, so then, and only then, do we assume that's no longer qualifies as Trima, and therefore the Bracha goes down to the Bracha Shahakol. So at the end of the day, the Mishnah Berurah puts these terms into place, but that's what it all depends on then. Whenever you want to know what Bracha you make in something, so the only question you have to ask yourself is it Nitzta Tzura Sapri or not Nitzta Tzura Sapri? That's all that matters, that's all that really counts. If it's Nitzta Tzura Sapri, then Rashi wins, and you make Shahakol on that. If it's low Nitzta Tzura Sapri, but still Nikar Tzura Sapri, the opposite of Nitzta is Nikar. If it's Nikar Tzura Sapri, but still recognizable as a Pri, then the Bracha remains a Bar Pri.
Right, but let's say you have a potato chip. Is that Nikar?
Yeah, I won't leave you. I know the potato chips are a major issue. We'll get there. So this term that the Mishnah Berurah invokes, if again, the Mishnah Berurah didn't make up already, earlier folks can have this concept, this notion of Nika Tzura Sapri, that term doesn't appear in the Rishonim per se. But that term of Nika Tzura Sapri in contrast to Nifsa Tzura Sapri, so how exactly do you define what that means? So there appears to be a major, major machlekes, the Gedolei HaPoskim, Am Shavar, of our generation, as to just what the words mean. What do these terms mean? What do these terms mean? How exactly do we define these terms of Nika Tzura Sapri in contrast to Nifsa Tzura Sapri? Because again, according to the Achra, the Mishnah Berurah, the Pashas, the Neramah, and basically following Shittas Rashi, that's what's going to carry the day. So what qualifies as Nika, what qualifies as Nifsa? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted as saying that he thought that that these terms, Nika Tzura Sapri and Nifsa Tzura Sapri, should be understood, Kipshuto, in the sense of Lefi, Ra'os, Balvatim, is whatever the Olam says. You have to take a food and show it to 10 people and ask them, what do you think? Do you think this looks like the original food? Could you tell what this is? If I wouldn't tell you that this is applesauce, so you would look at it and you would say, yeah, this looks like applesauce to me. Or you would say, no, applesauce, maybe this is mango sauce, maybe this is tomato sauce, maybe this is potato sauce. I don't know what it is. You can't really tell from looking at it. Maybe by tasting you'll be able to tell, but that's not going to be defined. You have to look at it if you're in a Hadayin. And Shlomo Zalman just says that obviously you can't ask the person who made the food to do the test. That would be absurd. So you have to take it, so the wife prepares the food for you, and then you bring it to the table, if you have to ask her, what is this? So then you know by definition, says the Shlomo Zalman, it's no longer Nika to a pri, and therefore Ashkenazim, who follow the minhag of the Ramah, would recite Shachar for this Sfardim, they really have no issue at all. According to this Sfardim, they can follow the Ramah anyway. Even Ramah says, even if it's Nasa Ki Isa, totally doesn't resemble the pri, they're still going to make a burp race. But according to the Ashkenazim, who Chayshish is Rashi, we follow the minhag of the Ramah, the Mishkurura. So says Rosh Hashanah, that's all that really matters. You just ask the average person on the street and ask him, is this Nikatur Sapri, not Nikatur Sapri? Does it look like the Pri, not look like the Pri? That's all that matters. So although this was the way Rosh Hashanah presented it, it's quoted by Rabbi Yashiv that he thought that that was not necessarily correct. Rabbi Yashiv thought that it's not a subjective thing in the sense that you ask each person, he asked the innocent bystander what he thinks for Sapri is. Rabbi Yashiv thought that there are certain halachic criteria as to what constitutes Nika to a Sapri and what constitutes Nisa to a Sapri. So Rabbi Yashiv claimed, based on a lashon, that the Magen Avraham uses a similar lashon, that it depends on what's called an halacha nimoach. Nimoach means something has liquefied. If something is already liquefied, something has already been, says, put into a blender, something has already been called pureed, so says Rabbi Yashiv, that by definition is considered to be Nisa to a Sapri. You can't call the liquid ready. It's already a liquid mush. You can't call that the puree anymore. It could be that everybody knows that this particular puree, look at what's in the blender, everybody knows that this is apples mixed up, this is potatoes mixed up. It could be that Lefira Ose and Ebrei other, they all know what it is. So Rabbi Yashiv is a little mild of one that you read up the Aloha. Once it's been Meich Legamri, once it's been already transformed from a solid to a liquid, that's how by definition called Nifsat Tzura Sapri. In the other direction as well, Rabbi Yashiv is going to disagree with Rabbi Shlomo Zalman. So Rabbi Yashiv argues that let's say you have a solid fruit that's been really pulverized and mashed up, but it hasn't yet been turned into a liquid. And the average person walks by and sees this, he doesn't have a clue what this fruit is. So Rabbi Yashiv said, so then halacha is still going to be a barbre. That's still considered to be nikat or a sapri. So there seems to be a really basic machlokes going on between the gedolim of our generation. What exactly does the term nikar mean? Does nikar mean lashon hakara in the sense of that a person is going to be able to recognize it? Does nikar mean that the halacha recognizes it? There's a halachic process called pureeing that has yet taken place or not taken place, and that's ultimately what's going to define whether something is nikar or a sapri or not. So suffice it to say that this machlokes is going to have a very, very serious enough community. There are going to be a lot of foods out there that are going to depend on this particular shayla. Let's just throw out one or two examples. So by golly, let's talk about applesauce first. When we were kids, that was always the most controversial issue in the brachas. Every year they had this brachas. Every year they gave a little booklet from the Torah Masorah telling you what brachas to make. Every year, of course, was different than the year before because they always had the chiluk edeus. So remember one year when I was in the brachas bee, so there was an article written up in the New York Times about the brachas bee. So the article, they were trying to explain to the uninitiated population in New York City about what the significance of Ichus brachas is. So, I don't know if the article didn't go over too well, but they were trying to explain what was happening. So they were trying to give an example of what kind of questions are presented to these sixth graders. So the question that was given in the New York Times was, imagine if somebody asks you, what blessing do you recite on applesauce? So most people would think it's a yes-no answer, a one-word answer. So no, these sixth graders have to ask the following question, very Jewish way that they're trying to point out. You answer a question with a question. So they ask you, what brach, what blessing do you recite? What benediction do you recite? Whatever the word is. What blessing do you make on applesauce? So the sixth grader responds, well, what kind of applesauce is it? Is it homemade applesauce? Is it processed applesauce? Is it this company applesauce? That company applesauce? That was like the godless of the New York Times. They couldn't. This was the religion editor in the New York Times. They were very excited about that. They couldn't, that the kids had to know the difference in different kinds of applesauces. So the question is that really true? Is there any validity to that? So the Rambam would be reading that article and say, what are you talking about? Says, well, who cares what kind of applesauce it is? According to the Rambam, it started out as an apple, and now it's applesauce. So I don't care whether you can tell, you can't tell, you can see, you can't see, you know, you don't know. According to the Rambam, that's trima. According to the Rambam, every applesauce in the world is trima. So the brach on all applesauces is going to be a bar pre-eight. But the New York Times, the whole thing, the Ramah, the whole thing, the Mishnah Berurah, that it depends on Rashi Shita. And the Mishnah Berurah is revamping of Rashi Shita and redefining the Ramah that it depends on Nika Tura Sapri or not. So we have to ask ourselves, is applesauce called Nika Tura Sapri or not? So the answer is it depends. It depends whose definition of Nika Tura Sapri you're using. It depends how the applesauce is going to be made. So according to Shlomo Zalman, the question is not really a question of is it homemade or is it commercial applesauce. The simple question is, you take the steak, you put it on a plate, and show it to a person. So, lefiani is the idea. If you show applesauce, any applesauce in the world, to any normal person who's ever seen applesauce before, he would say right away, what's this is applesauce? Everybody knows this is applesauce.
You can do the same thing with pears, though, and they actually look quite similar.
They do look the same, okay. And it just messed up my my host of the dinner, okay.
But who uses it? I mean, most people I say that, but most people, if you look in the setting, it's usually applesauce. It's not going to be pear sauce or cranberry sauce, you know.
So but I could take around my pear sauce and, you know, show it around, and somebody could be convinced it's applesauce. So you have the same exact consistency.
Okay.
But different fruits, but one might be an eighth and one might be
If you take the term surat literally, it's only a baked apple. You would have broad grains, because anything else, even if it's chunky, you can't feed surat apri. It's a piece.
But everybody agrees there is a case of trima. Trima is crushed up. So even Rashi agrees that if something is crushed up, as long as it's not totally crushed.
But if you go by the Mishnah Berurah's definition of
surah, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't mean that surah that it looks the same as it did all along. It means those little pieces have a surah to it. They have a form to it. It doesn't have the form of the original pre, but it has a form. It has a solid form to it. So again, so according to Shlomo Zalman, the question is, you just have to ask people. So I don't know, unless...
Going back to this for a second, so according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, is it possible that applesauce could be an eighth, but the same consistency of pear sauce, for argument?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe a chrami, according to Shlomo Zalman. So that's the fact, according to Shlomo Zalman. You take a look at it and you see what's the bracha. So the issue of commercial versus home, I don't think really plays much of a role according to Shlomo Zalman. What about according to Goyashiv? So again, it also doesn't make much of a difference. It all depends on how it's made. So I imagine that, how do they make it? Anyone else? In the commercial applesauce, is it pureed? Who knows, wait, to check with the applesauce companies. So if it's pureed, then according to the Tura of Yasha, the bracha is going to be shahabal. If it's not pureed, then the bracha is going to be pureed. And the same is true with your homemade applesauce. It's also going to depend on that. If it's pureed, then I don't care what it looks like. Everybody knows when you put out your platter with latkes and something in the middle, so everybody in the world knows that that's applesauce. Nobody thinks that it's pureed. In your house, it's pear sauce. Nobody thinks that it's anything else except applesauce. According to Yasha, it doesn't matter. According to Yasha, it doesn't matter what it looks like, what it smells like, what it tastes like. It all matters was that it go through a halakhic process of being liquefied. If it was liquefied, it was pureed, and a shahakal ended discussion. If it wasn't liquefied, if it's just crushed up apples, so then the bracha is going to be a burnt
bread. So a simple resolution of the problem is you serve applesauce, put a piece of an apple in, and yes, it's not a problem. It's a piece of apple. Even Rashi would say it's not a problem.
Okay.
Man.
I guess so. Well, the person who's going to eat the piece of apple is going to make a burnt bread.
No, but okay, so coming in with the applesauce, right? And you're very firm, you know, one of these right-wingers, and you don't know what do you do? So very simple. You take the applesauce, you put a piece of apple in it, so now it has, it's trima according to Rashi, right? It's crushed apples with a piece of apple, right? So it's nicker your apple there, and then you're done.
Okay, you tell your wife, Nick, when she serves it.
Out of color, right?
According to Rav Shlomo Zalman.
That's right, I was thinking, put a big note that says, this is Trima, according to Rashi. This is that'll grow over well.
According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, what if you had a food, and let's not say applesauce, but where normally the bracha wouldn't be, let's say, with sugar in it or something else. So Rav Shlomo Zalman would say, well, as long as everybody says it's applesauce, even though 90% of it is sugar,
well, that would be an equitable question. That would be a different story. If you have a fruit that's a bar per eight, according to Shlomo Zalman, you're going to pass it up this food as bar per eight, but now it's got other things in it, so then maybe it'll lose out in terms of equitable. So that would be the regular rule of the book of
So it wouldn't matter if it tasted
right, right. If the sugar was really equal, it's hard to believe that would really be true. But we all know that sugar is an eighth anyway, Mikra, then. I mean, I admit it because we make shahakal on sugar, but many of the Rishonim write that sugar is really barbaric. It grows on a tree, a sugar cane. But I admit it gives for whatever reason to recite shahakal on sugar. Anyway, that's what
Sound
naked service.
So sugar is now a fruit? Beautiful.
It counts as a fruit.
Catch the fruit.
That's like tomatoes catch the vegetable. Ketchup counts as a vegetable. This discussion, this term, in terms of Nikatur Sapri, if you follow Rav Shlomo Zalman's Hagdara, that Nikatur Sapri depends on the fee, the Osenei Adayonim, it depends on what the people at the island thinks, the fruit, whether it's recognizable as a fruit or not. So the Chora, one could raise a further question in terms of the following child. Let's say you take, and here you have it more in terms of vegetables than in terms of fruits. Let's say you take a vegetable, for argument's sake. Let's say you take a potato, before we get to tilapia, you take a potato, and you slice up a potato. You don't crush it, you just take a slice of potato, thin slice of potato. So the post can write that l'chol adei is bein l'fi Rashi, bein l'fi Aramba, bein l'fi Yerushalmi Talmud. That's for sure the bracha is the same. The only discussion in terms of trima is that the food is actually crushed up, and if you just take a, crush up the little pieces, but if you take a piece of fruit or a piece of vegetable, whether it looks like the potato, doesn't look like the potato, looks like the fruit, doesn't look like the fruit, but you didn't crush it up into pieces, you just took a slice of it, so everybody agrees that the bracha is going to remain the same. That was the whole confusion in terms of cornflakes, that there used to be a whole tumult about what bracha made on cornflakes, whether the cornflakes is adam, whether the cornflakes is shahakal. So people used to say, oh, you can't make adam on cornflakes, it doesn't look like corn anymore, because it's nifsa tura sapri. So that's what the post can point out, but that's not correct at all, that's totally irrelevant. Nifsa tura sapri only makes sense when you crush, when you break it up into little pieces. If you just take a food and you just crush it into one big piece, so that's not even in the ballpark of trima. That's not even in the sugya of trima. So if you take a piece of corn, let's say you make popcorn. So you look at popcorn. Popcorn doesn't look like lechon mekav, and alfa bichein, you still recite hadama on popcorn. There was never shayla about the bracha on popcorn because it was never even in the ballpark of trima. It was never broken into a little piece in the first place. So the same is true when it comes to cornflakes. If you take a kernel of corn and you smash it and put sugar and flavoring and junk on it and cover the coloring on it. So that's not called trima. According to anybody, that's just a regular bracha b'orpi adama. The only issue that comes up with cornflakes is there are certain kinds of cornflakes out there that are not made from whole grains of pieces of corn. They're made from corn flour. That means they crush up the corn into little pieces and then they revamp it and shake it up again and make it into a cornflake. So then, Taka, you can begin to discuss. Then maybe the bracha is going to be shahakal according to Rashi. But in the classic cornflakes, Kellogg's, I think Kellogg's cornflakes, any high quality cornflakes, not the Hamish brand cornflakes, the real true blue cornflakes, so the bracha should be a bracha. But that's not even in the ballpark of trima. So getting back to the story of the potatoes, that's what the post can say, that potato chips, everybody agrees you make a dom on potato chips. There was another question, even though you can look at potato chips and say, I can't really tell. If you never saw potato chips before, you wouldn't necessarily know it came from a potato. It doesn't matter. It was never trimacized. It was never crushed into pieces. It was nothing. So based on Rashi, based on Rambam, of course the brach on potato chips is going to be a b'orpi adama. But now the shadow becomes as follows. What if a person takes a potato and doesn't just slice it into a potato chip, but he crushes it up and makes it into a flour, a type of a food, it's a b'amish potato flour. So then what's the bracha going to be on these kinds of foods that are made from potato flour? So l'chora, that's going to be the machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. According to the Rambam, that everything is considered to be trima. It doesn't matter what happens. It's nifsa l'gamre, it's like an isa. According to the Rambam, it always retains its original bracha. According to the Rambam, anything that's made from this crushed up potato is always going to remain a bar pri adama. But according to Rashi and the Ramah and the Mishtabura, no, it's going to depend on nifsa tura sapri. If it's nifsa tura sapri, so then if it's nifsa tura sapri, then the bracha is going to go down to a shahako. If it's nika tura sapri, if the pri is still recognizable, then it's going to remain as the bracha of a bar pri adama. So one could raise the following shaila. What if you take a potato and you crush the potato up into a little floury stuff, and then what do you do? Rather than eating in the state of flour, you do a tchias amesim on the potato flour and you turn it back into looks like a potato again. So what's that halacha? Is that considered to be a bracha bar pri adama? Or is that considered to be a bracha shahakol? So what's the shaila? The shaila is very simple. This Hagadara that the Mishnebura and the Ramah and Rashi are giving us called Nika Tzura Sapri. So does Nika Tzura Sapri mean it has to be Nika B'tchila B'yatzelf? That means from the beginning of the process until the end, it has to have been Nika Tzura Sapri. Once it loses the Tzura Sapri, it's over, finished. So the fact that you reconstituted it and turned it into something that looks like the original, you did a Tchis and Eisim on it, so that's a Panam Kadosh Malakan. That's a new entity. That's something brand new. That has no Shaykhus to the original potato. But you say, no, that just as Pesha Asa Peshita, you were the one who destroyed the potato. If you could put the Humpty Dumpty back again together and make it look like a potato again, so then so be it. So then it was originally Nika Tzura Sapri, and now by soap it's Nika Tzura Sapri. The fact that somewhere in the middle, it lost the Tzura Sapri, that's Lamalaf Lamayit in terms of Bechus Brachas. So that's a further Shaila according to the Mishnebura Ramah and Rashi's camp. According to the Rambam, that's a meaningless Shaila. According to the Rambam, so it's always a Bar Pradam. Even if it is Nika Tzura Sapri, it retains the Bracha. But according to Rashi and the Ramah, the Mishnebura, and our custom, meaning that we follow this idea of Nika Tzura Sapri, so is that considered to be still a Nika Tzura Sapri because you brought the Tzura Sapri back again? Or do you say, no, once the Tzura Sapri is gone, so then it's gone, the Olam Vod. So this Shaila, this further Shaila, was also presented to Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman thought this is a parsha that the Zirus becomes back to life again. That in fact, even the Tchis that makes him done on these potatoes, that if it used to look like a potato and now it looks like a potato, the fact that in the middle it didn't look like a potato, so that's Lomal of Lomayrit. So it's based on this. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman had his two psokim, the Maisa, that the Sefer of the Sein Bracha, and Rabbi Badner is a Bracha Sefer, so he writes that he brought a whole bunch of food to Shlomo Zalman. He sat down with him in the Shari Chassid and brought him this food and that food. He had to put all the American Mishigasim and he brought him all the food. And he asked him, what's the Bracha this, what's the Bracha that? And it basically came out from the discussion that he had with Shlomo Zalman, that Shlomo Zalman was convinced that when you reconstitute something, you make it look again like a Tzimis HaPri, so that brings the Tzimis HaPri back to life, and the Bracha goes back to being a Bar Pri Adamah. So the two examples that were given of this cloud that was presented to Shlomo Zalman, one was the reconstituted mashed potatoes. So very often you go to places to eat mashed potatoes, so they weren't sitting there with a mashing potato seal. They got them 100 years ago in the factory, they mashed the potatoes, they turned it into potato flour, and then they take that potato flour, they mix it with water, and hocus pocus, it comes back to become mashed potatoes again. So the reconstituted mashed potatoes, just in case you want to go out for dinner tonight, that's probably what they're serving you when they're serving mashed potatoes. So what's the bracha of the reconstituted mashed potatoes? So one could have argued that according to the Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah, the bracha should be shakal, because it was nisa tzira supreme. It was sitting as potato flour inside the box on the shelf for 20 years. So that was not nisa tzira supreme. You couldn't tell in a million years that was potatoes. So one could argue once it lost the tzira supreme, so it's gone. So then you would now make a shakal, even though it has come back to life. So Shlomo Zalman thought that was not the case. Shlomo Zalman thought that once the potato flour becomes reconstituted now, mashed potatoes, you showed this to anybody. You said, what is this? Okay, this is a mashed potatoes. So if you look at it and you see that it's mashed potatoes, so then the bracha will in fact be a bar priya adamah. That was Rav Shlomo Zalman's psak, legabi the mashed potatoes. And then Rav Shlomo Zalman had the same psak, legabi one of the very controversial issues. It came up, I remember when I was in elementary school, this was like one of the hot topics that we spoke about, was the issue of Pringles. What's the bracha on Pringles? So everybody knows the regular potato chips are adamah because there wasn't even a shayla of trima on potato chips. Let's say, during the Shnas HaShemitah, you would want to make potatoes into potato chips, you could do that. If you could find potatoes that are cut with Bishop Shvias, that aren't also Shum Svichan, if you can dig up such a thing, no pun intended, so then you would be permitted to make them into potato chips, because that's even better than Shrima, that's mamish nothing. You didn't crush it all, you just sliced it. So everybody agrees that regular potato chips, wise potato chips, are for sure bracha bar pri adamah. The shayla was, what about Pringles? What's the shayla about Pringles? At Pringles, you take a potato and then you crush it into little pieces, and then you bring it back to life again, and it looks mamshach potato chip again. So the question is that called a bar pri adamah? So Shlomo Zalman said, yes, that's considered to be a bar pri adamah. It's mamshach the same as a regular potato chip, which she tossed about the mashed potatoes. So this, you say, that Shlomo Zalman said, that mashed potatoes are considered to be potatoes back again, so to the Pringles are considered to be potatoes back again. So this is unlike it says in most of the Brachas books, most of them when we were kids. So everybody told us that Pringles potato chips, halach moshim sinni, you make shakal on, and then according to Shlomo Zalman, so he changed everything. He said, no, the Brachas things should be hadamah. One could disagree with Shlomo Zalman, one could argue with his svara by the mashed potatoes also. But perhaps one could argue, I thought it was a good svara to be mechalik between the two. And it could be that the reconstituted mashed potatoes, the bracha should be a bar pri adamah, whereas the Pringles one could argue a shahakra. I'll tell you why. That it's true that everybody who looks at a Pringle realizes that a Pringle came from potatoes. Everybody knows that's called a potato chip. On the other hand, they obviously don't look the same as regular potato chips. It's not; they don't look the same as the sliced potatoes originally looked. In the case of the mashed potatoes, it's mamish the same. This was a mush of potatoes, and this is a mush of potatoes. You can't, at least I can't tell. Maybe someone expert in taste and cuisine can take a look at mashed potatoes and see right through the difference. Can tell right away these are real mashed potatoes; these are the fake mashed potatoes. But I think to the uninitiated person, I think they pretty much look the same. But in case, nobody in the world would ever mistake Pringles for regular wise potato chips. Regular wise potato chips, they don't look so nice, they're ragged edges, because they were made from just random slices of potatoes. Mashenkin, every Pringle in the world looks the same way the Pringles look when I was a little kid, they look the same now. The mamish the same, every single Pringle is the same. The answer is everyone can tell that we know it's a potato chip, on the other hand, it's not reconstituted to look like the original potato chips. So maybe one can argue a chiluk that the mashed potatoes, the bracha is adamah, whereas the Pringles, maybe the bracha should be shahakal. But the Maaseh of Shlomo Zalman didn't say that. Shlomo Zalman thought that both of them were considered to be a bar pri adamah. I'm not saying everyone agrees with Shlomo Zalman, but according to his yisoy that reconstituted food does take on the original quality of the original food, that's still considered to be nikah tzuras aprei. So now getting back to to our potato latkes. We started off the shiur saying we're going to talk about potato latkes and about applesauce. We spoke about applesauce a little bit, so now we have to get back to potato latkes. So the issue of the potato latkes really is not that drastically different than everything that we've been talking up until now. A potato latkes considered to be the original food that retained the bracha of bar pri adama, but perhaps we have a right to argue that it's already nifsa tzuris apri. So the chor is going to depend on the mitzias advar. So again, according to the Rambam, according to the Shulchan Aruch, there's nothing to talk about. Of course, the potato latkes are going to be a bar pri adama, but according to Rashi and the Rama and the Mishnah Berurah Zachra, that it depends upon nika tzuris apri. So do potato latkes have tzuris apri or not? So the chor goes back to the original question: how exactly were the potato latkes made? So according to Rabbi Yashiv, that nika tzuris apri is only a function of solid versus liquid. So then lechora, you have to just ask your wife how she made the potato latkes. So many women, they take potatoes, they I don't know what they do at that point, take potatoes. The only thing I know is that they peel the potatoes, that's then somehow it gets smushed around, thrown into a blender, and it comes out as a potato latkes. So if that's the case, that it ends up, exactly, if that's the case, that that it goes through the blending process, then we have a little bit of a problem on our hand. According to the Yashiv, once it goes into a blender, that's called pureeing, that's called liquefying it, and it's all about finished, end of discussion. So according to the Yashiv, once it was turned into liquid, that's called oyster kafri. There's nothing to talk about them. The correct bracha on many potato latkes would be shahako, unless one didn't make potato latkes that way, unless one made potato latkes that one the old-fashioned way. My grandmother didn't make potato latkes in a blender, so I don't know how she made it. She peeled the potatoes and did something, yeah, and chopped them up and threw them into somewhere.
Good.
Okay. So according to that, according to Rabbi Yashiv, then if you make old fashioned potato latkes, so then the bracha is going to be adama. So it's just a question: did you use a blender or not?
Why? They used to have an old fashioned grinder. They used to sit down
and it turns into liquid.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they mush it.
Huh? If it turned into liquid, okay. If it really turned into liquid, then the bracha would be shahakol.
But what about a food
processor?
Like basically chopping or slicing.
So that'll depend. Is it a liquid or is it not liquid? That's the question.
Could you? It comes out as like strings, like when you make potatoes.
No, if it comes out of strings as a solid, so the question will be answered. Then the bracha is adama. If it comes out as a liquid.
Depends on how much you
do. Right, that's all. Right. If it comes out as a liquid, then it's shahakol. If it comes out as a solid, then it's adama. But according to Shulman Zalman, that doesn't make a difference. According to Shulman Zalman, that's not the fact to become. That's not the issue. According to Shulman Zalman, the issue is not the blender versus mixer versus this or that. Doesn't matter how you're making it. According to Shulman Zalman, at the end of the day, you put a potato latke on the table. So ask anybody, what is this? So they said it's a chanukah. No, it's a potato latke. So it's a potato latke. Everybody knows that it's a potato latke. So if everybody knows that it's a potato latke, so you're making bracha bar priyadam on according to Shulman Zalman. Doesn't matter how it was prepared. The same exact shaila is true when it comes to potato kugels also. What's the bracha potato kugels? Again, it's part of the same story. That according to Rabbi Yashiv, who said that it all is a question of whether it was liquefied or not, so many potato kugels are made in the blender. So if they're made derech the blender, then the bracha is going to be shahakol according to him. If they're made like the old style, just chopping up potatoes, so then the bracha is going to be adama. According to Shulman Zalman, also a mild blender. According to Shulman Zalman, you show a guy a piece of potato kugel. Everybody knows there's a potato kugel, doesn't look like anything else.
Commercial
potato flour.
Yeah.
Oh.
I assume no one's sitting there
grading
for millions.
Yeah,
they stick chunks.
Just to remind you that it's cynical.
Yeah, but
I don't know. I think, again, it's hard for me to remember the Machriya, the Gedolio, and I think that the other one seems like Michel Bazama. That's what I think that most people, when they look at something, most people don't go and check in the kitchen, how is it made? I think most people come to the kiddush. What do most people make on potato kugel?
Adama.
No, nobody ever makes adama potato kugel. Everybody makes adama on these things. Everyone's washing. Washing for kassos. So I don't know. I think most people sit down at the potato latkes to make adama. That was up to Dominicus. So am I in the dark ages? I think that most people make adama on potato latkes. So I think the reason is nobody stops to look and to go ask the question. They go ask about Sabayas, how they made the potato latkes. I think everybody assumes it looks like a potato latke. Looks like a duck, smells like a duck, tastes like a duck, whatever. It's a duck, it's a potato. So that's what I think that the minig is. I think also in this area, I think that it's better in the sense to err on the side of making the real bracha, making the hadam, making the bracha for the following reason. That me'ikar adin, It could be we don't even follow this old Rashi. Remember the Shacharot Paschal that the Rambam was right in all these cases. Even if it's Mamash Tifsitzur Sapri, the Bracha retains its original status. The Rambam writes that L'chadchila, the Minig is, in deference to Shittas Rashi, to play it safe to recite the Bracha Shachal. But even the Rambam concedes that if you make the quote-unquote wrong Bracha, you make Adam or Eik, you would still be Yaitz, because the Rambam says, V'ikir Adin, we really Paschal Mashittas right like Shittas Rambam. So therefore, it would appear that whenever you have these kinds of spakers, these Shilas, Machoitzim, is it Nikatur Sapri, not Nikatur Sapri, so I think it's probably better to assume that the bracha is Eitz, the bracha is Adama, since according to the Rambam for sure you're Eitz with that bracha, and even according to Rashi may very well be Eitz. There's a third consideration, that there is a Magen Avraham that says that when you have a, let's say you have a vegetable, that's, we know most vegetables you recite a bar per adama on, but if you eat a vegetable in an abnormal manner, then you recite a shahakal. Let's say, for example, a person eats a raw potato. So you don't make adama on a raw potato, you make a shahakal. Or if a person takes a piece of lettuce, a cucumber, and he cooks it up, so a cooked cucumber, that's an abnormal way of eating a cucumber, then you recite the bracha of shahakal as well. Because the bracha is that if you take something which would have been a hadama, but you do something strange to it, so then the bracha goes down to shahakal. So the Magen Avraham writes, but let's say b'diavad, the guy made hadama. The guy, by mistake, he made hadama on the raw potato, he made hadama on the cooked cucumber. So the Magen Avraham says, it's yaitzeh. How can you say it's not yaitzeh? It's a borei pre-hadama. It's a pre that grew in the ground. So it's a borei pre-hadama. So if that's the case, says the Magen Avraham, one could extrapolate from there and say here also that even though the mice that we should have paskin that the potato lobster shakal, we should have paskin that the kugel shakal, we should have paskin the reconstituted mashed potato, the Pringles shakal, but at the end of the day, what you said was a statement of truth. It was a bari pre-hadama. So just as the Magen Avraham said that that's considered to be a pre-hadama b'di'evit, you still yet say with a bari pre-hadama. So to over here, I don't think anyone's going to say that you're not yet to b'di'evit, unless you say like the Chazon Ish argued that when you take food and you crush it up to the point that it's no longer trima, whatever that definition is, so says the Chazon Ish, then it becomes like a fruit juice. So just as, let's say, you would recite a bar pre eitz on a fruit juice, so you probably wouldn't be, I'd say, even b'di'evit, because that's already no longer pre-eitz. That's already ois pre, that's the gamre, so there's going to be botel mechutel l'shem pre. So the Chazon Ish suggests that just as it's botel l'shem pre l'gavi juices, so lo yitzu that something doesn't qualify as trima, whatever your definition of trima is, maybe even b'di'evit you wouldn't be, I'd say. That's a questionable Chazon Ish. Not everyone accepts that Chazon Ish. So l'shem is da'iti, I still think that in all of these cases, whenever you have these snakes, you're not sure what kachah make on it. So as long as, according to some poskim, it's still considered to be included in Trima, I think that it's better to err on the side of making the bar for eight to the bar for Adama. So the Shinius 90, the standard bracha on applesauce, as long as it's still meeker, people can still tell that it's applesauce, it's still recognized, you can follow Shlomo Zalman, and besides the bar for eight and applesauce, assuming they're eating it plain, they eat applesauce together with a potato like this, that it's tough all that it's bottled, because it's potato like this, but you're just eating applesauce, so I still think you can recite the bracha bar for eight, and it doesn't really matter whether it's commercial or home-made in contrast. The New York Times article from 35 years ago, I still think the bracha should be bar pre. In terms of potato lattice, I still think that their bracha is bar pre adama. In terms of the potato kugel, I still think it's bar pre adama. I think of Shlomo Zalman's svar about the recast of the mashed potatoes. You want to make adama on that, adama on Pringles, whatever you want to make adama on Eitan, I think is definitely yeshem milusmoch. And others disagree, but it appears to me that when you have these kinds of spakers, so it's better to be suffix to make the original bracha, because anyway, according to the Rabbi in the Shulchan Aruch, the original bracha is the correct bracha under all the circumstances. I have no idea.
Depends on the year.
All I know is that my daughter last year was in the Brachas B, and the Shiloh was about the chocolate-covered raisins. That was the Shiloh. The Brachas make a chocolate-covered raisins. So she started to say, with the Brachas, as the Brachas B, it says her eight and Shahakal. So she started to say Shahakal, and she started to say her eight, and she was about to say Shahakal, and they stopped her up. She didn't answer, took the Dibur, so she lost. So she came home quite distraught. So I try to explain to her that according to the Makar Bracha, that was the correct answer that she gave. Because chocolate meat was in spite supposed to be her eight. Because chocolate was planted al das to be used after the chocolate, and Mikra didn't find, including the Sugif tree, whatever, details, not for now, but the Pasha's Mikra within the Bracha chocolate is really in Bar Pre'etz. I mean, it gets to make shakal for whatever reason, the same way we don't know why we make shakal on sugar, so we even make shakal on chocolate also. So the Sefer Makar Bracha, dying from England, so he writes in a Sefer that it would appear to him that if you have a chocolate-covered raisin, so you're going to make an eighth from the raisin and turn around and shahakal on the chocolate. He says, it's a joke. He said, the ikra didn't you yet with the bar for eighth already. So he thinks that the bracha on chocolate-covered raisin should be only an eighth. End of discussion. So I tried to calm my daughter down. I said, you said exactly what's right. That's what I think is the correct halacha. Like, give a bracha. You make a bar for eighth on the chocolate-covered raisins and show him, call it a day. So, but that didn't fly in the school because they didn't want to know what it says in the Makar Bracha. They want to know what it says in the little sheet. That's all that matters. Whether she tried it wrong, it doesn't matter. So, So,
no, they were looking halal. Look at what the